You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Love Talk Live. I'm your host, Jamie Bronstein, and today I have with me Preston Bryant and Elise Marie. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Jamie.
Thank you guys for doing this today. I'm really excited to just inspire the world, whoever's watching, with you guys. I'm saying you guys meaning the viewers now, are in for a real treat because they are the real deal. They are a couple and they share such a beautiful relationship. And so I'm so excited to be doing this today.
So grateful to be, yeah.
Okay, so before we get into everything that they are going to just enlighten your life with, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about them. So Elise is the global head of women's community at Google, a coach, facilitator, and expert on women's leadership. She has over a decade of professional experience at Google, where she manages the women's network of 36,000 people in 52 countries around the world. She studied psychology and communication at Stanford University. Her soul's mission is to help people heal, awaken, and step fully into their power. And now Preston. After a short-lived career as a professional rugby player in South Africa, Preston attended college at CU Boulder and had a spontaneous mystical experience that changed the course of his life. After a few years of rapid transformation, he realized it was linked to a non-conceptual and ineffable truth underlying reality. During this time of inner discovery, he read everything he could on mysticism, Eastern philosophy, and spirituality while pursuing a double degree in philosophy and journalism at the University of Colorado Boulder. He also delved into devotional yoga, Advaita Vedanta, meditation, dance, and self-inquiry. Some years later, he had an emotional breakdown after a breakup that catapulted consciousness into a state many have called enlightenment. Although it only lasted a week, resulting in what Adyashanti calls a non-abiding awakening, Preston decided to dedicate the entirety of his personal and professional life to the truth embodied during that time. He currently coaches both men and women to heal their masculine wound, magnetize a conscious partner, and step into a life of wisdom, purpose, creativity, and embodiment. So that's a lot. You guys are just, I love that you guys have come together because there's just so much, there's a lot of depth to both of you. And so the relationship must be just full of deep conversations all the time.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yes, it is.
Always.
So, I mean, we can start anywhere. I know there's some topics that you wanted to inspire people with, but I would love you guys to just share a little bit about your story. How did you come together and what makes your relationship work?
Cool. I'll start and then Elise can chime in. So we both met on the island of Kauai. We moved there at the same time for different reasons. And destiny sort of had its way with us. I think we were both moving through our own types of grief at the time. And that actually allowed us to cultivate a heart-centered relationship with each other that was very much aligned, romantic, and at times difficult to believe. When we first started connecting in Kauai, it was as if the set and setting had set itself up in a way that was a little bit too movie-like. And there were multiple times that we would just look out at where we were kissing each other and just thinking to ourselves, I guess this is real. And
rainbows, yeah.
Yeah, double rainbows sometimes.
Dolphins, whales.
Totally.
And to go back to the sort of aspect of the depth, I think we both realized that there was a spiritual connection between us two, that the compatibility and polarity was so natural and effortless. Mm-hmm. And we've been developing a very devotional relationship since. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah. And I think the things that really make it work, aside from really feeling like our souls kind of wanted to be together, is, you know, definitely genuine compatibility, shared values, and, you know, ways of being in the world. We both care about developing our sense of presence and our connection, and really seeing each other in our fullness and celebrating each other's gifts and beauty, and inspiring one another to be better versions of ourselves, and continuously cultivating that sense of appreciation and gratitude and fondness, you know, spark. We have an incredible spark that we keep thinking like, is this going to fade out? Yeah. What's happening? And it just keeps, you know, igniting even more. And it's been an incredible experience, which has been unique for us compared to past relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
So, oh, go ahead.
Oh, it's just, yeah, I mean, we've nearly been together for 2 years, and the level of polarity, compatibility, and physical attraction has almost escalated. It's, yeah, unlike anything that I've ever experienced, and I feel like unlike anything Elisa's experienced as well. So definitely something special here.
Well, I love that you guys are talking about really what makes up a forever connected relationship. You guys mentioned that you see each other, you hear each other, you accept each other. You're not judging each other. You don't want each other to change. You just adore each other the way that you are. Not that every day is perfect, I'm sure. But it's so simple. And you said you have shared values, which is so important. It's like when I think about relationships and the work that I do, when you break it down, relationships can be so simple if all you do is love each other, and you don't want each other to change, and you don't judge, and you listen to each other, and you feel seen and heard. It's these very simple concepts that people, I think, their unresolved issues get in the way, and fear, and sounds like maybe in the past you guys might have experienced that, like we all have. And then you guys both evolved into where you are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would also say that as everyone listening can probably already intuit, we are deeply in love, and we're also imperfect beings. So when those issues do come up, even if it's judgment or one of us is closed off, the willingness and the sincerity that we meet that with is what matters the most. And I think based on what's happened for us in the past, we're able to meet those new situations with far more grace and care and curiosity as well. Curiosity is a really important piece. I noticed that in moments when I'm closed down, Elisa's curiosity and emotional intelligence allows me to open up, and I tried my best to do the same for her. So that's really important, is making sure that there's a spaciousness in those tough moments, because that's where the solution comes in. Yeah.
Just something that I'm thinking about with the word curiosity. I love talking about how one of the ways you know that it's your person is that you're intrigued by each other. So as you're saying curiosity, what you're not saying you're intrigued. You're saying that she will get curious, meaning that's when she's not judging you. That's when she's wanting to understand. She's curious where you're coming from and what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. She in many ways does that better than me. And that's one of the things I actually learned from her a lot, is her ability to become radically curious in really difficult moments. So I give you full credit to that. It's very beautiful, and it's not a skill that a lot of people naturally possess.
And I think it probably comes from like early years of my mom being a therapist and then having been in therapy so long myself. But I feel like everything that comes up, including or especially if it's challenging, I see as an opportunity to learn and to deepen an understanding and figure out what's going on here, what is getting exposed, what's coming up that wants to get looked at or healed or loved. And it's, yeah, an opportunity when we do have challenge to be able to say, okay, what needs to get understood here? What do we need to kind of hash out in a way that can actually deepen the sense of connection because we actually get ourselves and each other better.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that you guys are able to do that in the moment? Do you need to sometimes step away from the emotions and come back when you have had time to process? How does that look?
Depends on the context. We definitely are a fan of taking timeouts, like especially if someone's feeling triggered or there's just, you know, too much kind of charge in it. So we'll definitely leverage taking alone time, taking some space before we come back to talk about something if it's really hard. But we also are fans of kind of bringing something up right when we notice it so that we're not actually holding something, stewing on it, baking on it. And as much as we can, I think, try to kind of work through things in real time and then revisit if we need to kind of take a timeout. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one thing that I want to share with your listeners is that when you have found your soulmate, even if there are moments of rupture, the desire to heal is very prominent. So mm-hmm. even if there are really difficult moments, and I'm sure many people have experienced this, moments of rupture in which you've done something or said something, that it's almost as if when you found the one, your soulmate, the ability and the desire to just go straight back to them and apologize because you know it's not worth lingering on it, sort of dramatically increases. And I found that in my relationship with Elise, when certain things have occurred or I've said something, my willingness to just kind of like be like, oh, well, she's the one and what's the point in hanging on to this? So I will just approach her and tell her I love her. And all of a sudden there's more depth, there's more intimacy, there's more connection. So it's profound and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Nobody needs to be right or wrong at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. When you have that depth and that bond and that connection.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like right and wrong is very not evolved, unevolved, very young. And so it's nice when two people can just rise above, have compassion for each other and have that love. And I love what you're saying because it's also because you guys are adults and you've had past relationships that it feels different. And I love that you're saying you have the motivation to work through it and maybe also just kind of rise above. And I mean, the important things to look at and heal, but maybe more of like the not sweating the small stuff and just not wanting to fight.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And building the muscle of the rupture repair cycle and true ownership and responsibility and apology for whatever piece. I feel like we both have something to kind of apologize for in any challenging dynamic usually. And being able to understand how we co-create everything and in partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Speaking of that, I love talking about manifesting and you're talking about co-creating. So how do you feel that you guys manifested each other? Like what do you think it was that was going on inside of you that actually made it happen, that the universe brought you guys together?
Yeah. I think I have a feeling that what I'm going to say is probably what Elise is going to say, but it's actually grief. I think I may have shared this with you all before, but there's a beautiful philosopher by the name of Alfred North Whitehead. And he said that our lives begin with the dream of youth. And then as we mature and grow and, reach older ages, we experience the harvest of tragedy. And in the harvest of tragedy, there is a more mature stabilization that occurs in one's life and in one's relationships. Elise experienced the loss of her brother and much, much more that I will let her get into. And I experienced a really dreadful breakup that brought up a lot of trauma and unresolved issues in myself. And actually there was I think we met in a place of understanding each other's grief on a very intuitive level. And actually in that grief, there came care, there came intimacy. Grief has a way when you're next to someone or experiencing intimacy with someone who understands grief on a deep level, the level of maturity that is sort of manifested is very, very deep. Mm-hmm. And so I think that spirit took us through the ringer, so that we could meet each other. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I think it's very poetic and very beautiful. And that's how life works sometimes.
And love is healing.
Mm-hmm. So healing. Cool. Is there anything else you want to speak to on that one?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, the loss of my brother definitely propelled me on my spiritual path and started to, you know, force me to really do a lot of inner work about figuring out who I really am, what I really care about, why I'm here, you know, and that led to exposing with time some incompatibilities in a past partnership, and had to face another wave of grief, which I think I resisted for a bit, you know, and stayed in a relationship because there was such deep care, love, and loyalty to someone that, you know, we were growing in some different directions. And so it took facing another round of grief and saying, actually, this, you know, is so right in many ways, but isn't right in all the ways. And I'm willing to let it go and go through a process of grief to release myself back out, to figure out, you know, who is the person that I am really meant for now at this stage of my life, where I'm, you know, the woman that I'm becoming, and trusting that the path of love would reveal itself again to me. So I'd say there was like a sense of being really honest with myself about what I needed, wanted, and wasn't going to settle for, and what I was willing to have faith in, that, you know, love comes again knocking at our door after we have loved before and let someone go, even when it's incredibly painful and just not quite right anymore. So I think faith is the other piece that I would I would bring in, and had found myself journaling about the type of love I hoped for next and the type of man I hoped for next before I got to Kauai. And it's wild to look back at that, you know, those journal entries and see so many of those qualities and who Preston is, and getting to come together with him is a blessing.
You know, it's so courageous to let go of a relationship that doesn't serve you. It is so courageous, and not everybody in their lifetime does that, has the ability and will do that. And maybe in another lifetime they will. And so I love what you're saying about you took that leap, you had that faith and you trusted. And then I love that you wrote down what you were looking for and he magically appeared. There's a lot in between that I know, but that's what this is life. You know, life is short. We have one life to live. If you're not happy, and if you know that a relationship is not serving you, it's, you got to take that chance. And you believed in abundance. You believed that that couldn't be it for you. And it wasn't. This young, handsome man is.
Totally.
Yeah. I think actually something that's kind of coming to me now is that even if we're not aware of the abundance on the other side of leaping into the unknown, our soul is. And so sometimes, you know, I think both Elise and I took leaps of trust and just said yes to the unknown. And it was as if our souls were magnetizing each other through a very courageous leap into the unknown. That's what makes life beautiful. You know? Yeah.
I always tell my clients that their person is looking for them just as much as they're looking for their person. And it sounds like that's what you guys were doing at the same time.
Yeah, totally. And I'm a big fan of Catherine Woodward Thomas's process of conscious uncoupling. And I just feel if we could actually normalize in our society uncoupling more when things aren't, you know, quite right. I think it's so painful for us when we formed these attachment bonds to let go of and end something that has been, in most cases, lots and lots of good, and also maybe some misalignment or pain or, you know, lack of true full compatibility, especially as time goes on and we grow and evolve. And if we could just normalize that process and build our muscles around resilience and, mm-hmm. and grief and letting go and trusting that actually people might be in even more fulfilling relationships for longer periods of time because they have been willing to do the hard thing and exit a relationship earlier or at the time that it has become clear. And I think people cling on to some relationships, you know, longer than are actually serving them because of this like broader struggle that people have with that.
Yeah. Scarcity, lack mentality.
Right. What if I don't find someone else? What if, you know, I'm better with this person than no one. And it's like, yeah, to be willing and ready to be alone for a bit and, you know, yeah, doing your inner healing work and then getting out there to date again when you're ready or trusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's our society and is in many ways impoverished with respect to the level of maturity we show up in relationships to. And I think something that Lise just alluded to is really important is that relationships are the sharpest mirror and actually for that very reason deserve the most attention, right? Because I've noticed in my relationship with Lise that the level of maturity I have to, the level of maturity and integrity I have to be in the world with is high. It's high. And it's because I love her and it's because relationships are beautiful reflections. And yeah, as she's alluded to really beautifully, if we could learn how to uncouple, if we could honor the process of uncoupling and know that it's natural, you know, because it doesn't feel natural or we haven't been taught that it's natural. And so everything you just said is so important. And so I hope all the listeners here can really take that in and remind themselves of how important relationships are. They are a gateway to deep transformation and deserve our attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that there are so many surface relationships out there. And if two people are happy like that, then that's wonderful. However, I think that a lot of times maybe one person is more surface than the other and it like the misalignment. But it seems like you guys, and this is so amazing also, because you guys have both done the work and it doesn't work. Or even if you guys hadn't done the work, you guys are both willing to do the work. It doesn't work when one person mm-hmm. is willing and the other isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're a beautiful example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think both Elise and I's work is really concentrated on inspiring people to magnetize a partner who's willing to do the work as much as they are. You know, like it's so important.
And when the work doesn't end, like, you know, you keep, it's going to be a constant phase, you know, of our lives, or it's not a phase, rather it's continuation, a continual process of healing and understanding more all these parts of ourselves, our shadows, our, you know, things from our childhood, whatever it is, you know, we're constantly, you know, having to dig back in and understand ourselves better as we grow. So it doesn't end. And like, who can be the person that you're on that journey of life with, you know, supporting each other's healing process and growth process.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like you guys, because we have to wrap this up. So I want to end on a just a really lighthearted, positive note. Seems like you guys play and like you're playful with each other also, which, and you have a wonderful backdrop to do that in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So that is so important also. And if you just want to speak about that, how you guys just have fun and enjoy life.
Yeah, we have so much fun and adventure, and definitely being in an environment like Hawaii feels that. But whether it's a, you know, spontaneous trip to watch sunset and jump into the ocean or dancing, we love dancing. It's one of our, you know, it's our own love language of being able to be in flow and creative expression together is a big way that we play. You know, we feel like we can invoke the inner child in each other in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I love that you're finishing off on a lighthearted note, because most of the time, Elise and I are dancing for 6 hours, you know, a night at a music festival or, you know, wrestling each other. And yeah, it's very beautiful. So mm-hmm. thank you for that invitation.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And it makes me so happy to see you guys just happy and smiling. It's so refreshing. And you guys have such a special thing. And I know that you're going to continue doing things like this so that you can inspire the world. And I think we talked about how I want to interview you guys for my documentary.
Yes.
Excited. So excited for
that. Happy couples, couples that have it, let's say, mm-hmm. the it factor. Okay. So, and where can people find you?
Instagram, my account is Hey Elise Marie. My website is Elise Marie with a dash in between.com.
Mm-hmm. My Instagram's at Preston Bryant, all one word with two lowercases. I'm actually launching a program for women starting on August 9th, centered around healing your masculine wound and magnetizing a conscious, caring man. So if any of those women who are interested in that, please reach out to me.
Maybe we should do an event together with my book, Manifesting, and your group. Okay, so thank you guys so much. Everyone can find me at therelationshipexpert.com. It was such a joy to talk to you guys today. Keep on everything that you're doing, just keep on doing it because it's working and it's so beautiful to see.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you guys so much. And everybody, join me every week. Love Talk Live, LA Talk Radio at 2 p.m. Pacific. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.